Well, good morning, church. As has already been said, my name's Fred, and I'm stepping in, filling in for Pastor Jeff for today. And we're going to be looking at this morning's message. It will be spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. But before we go to that, let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for the divine authenticity of your precious word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, which interprets and applies that word to our hearts and minds. And we pray, Father, this morning as we delve into your word, this might be the case. You would teach us, Father, the lessons you would have us learn as we commit our gathering to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me then, please, to John chapter 12. We'll be looking at John chapter 12. And I'll be working from the authorized version of the Bible, which I think is still the most accurate and authentic version that we have today. And we shall read from verse 32 to 46. And then I won't do a verse-by-verse exposition because I don't have time for that, though I'd love to. But I will pick out the pertinent verses that apply to spiritual blindness. You won't find the word blind or blindness in this passage, but of course it's inferred in the text. So let's start off and read from verse 32. Open your Bibles if you would. Jesus speaking now to the Pharisees and to the people in general, the Jewish people, and he says in verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That's a direct quotation from Isaiah 53:1. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." And that is a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 6, 9 to 10. These things, verse 41, saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The word blindness in Scripture in the Greek, in the Koine Greek, is tuflo, and it's used metaphorically of the dulling of the intellect. Let's have a look at verses 32 and verses 33 again. And this is Jesus speaking, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. These words were meant to follow and expound the Father's statement in verse 28 at the last part of that verse. So if you go to verse 28 at the end part of it, I'll read it to you. This is, well, let's read from the top of the verse. Father, this is Jesus speaking to his Father. There's a terrible time for Jesus because the crucifixion is coming up and he's terrified, he's scared. Bear in mind, Jesus took on humanity. He had human feelings. He's not looking forward to Calvary. But nonetheless, he set his face as a flint to go to Calvary. And he says, "Father, glorify my name." He's speaking to his Father now. "Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have," and this is the end of the verse, in connection with this. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, this will be done in a fourfold way. Firstly, through the exaltation of righteousness. Secondly, through the defeat of Satan. Thirdly, through the honoring of the eternal Son. And fourthly, through the conquest of a lost world. But why Jesus? Why through Jesus? All the time in the New Testament says, Jesus, why? We have the answer in John chapter 5, if you turn there with me, please. John chapter 5. I shall be comparing scripture with scripture, as I think this is the only foolproof way to do things. I'm not interested in what I think, my opinion. I'm interested in what the Bible teaches. So we shall compare scripture with scripture, and it'll back itself up. It'll fit together. So John 5, 22, 23, why Jesus? Here we have it. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment, here it is, unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So God makes it very, very plain here, the order of events. He has chosen his Son, Jesus, to come to the earth, and people must look to Jesus. Philippians 2, 5, 11, please. Philippians 2, 5, 11. I'm going to work you hard this morning. Philippians 2 and 5 to 11. Paul the Apostle says to the saints in Philippi, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Here it is, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, there it is, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's have a look at verse 34 back in our John chapter 12 reading then, please. And I've lost my place, but John chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 34 to get us launched. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how do you say then that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They were mindful of those scriptures which appeared to support their own point of view, but took no notice of the texts which speak of the Messiah's death and sufferings. They had heard out of the law that Messiah abideth forever, but had never heard out of the law that Messiah should be cut off. And it's plainly revealed to us in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26. Don't bother to turn to it. And that he should pour out his soul unto death. At this point, they were spiritually blinded. Isaiah 53 was also an integral part of their scriptures, where the prophet predicted the death of the Lord's anointed. And yet, what do they say? Who is this Son of Man? Completely blind. And that's what religion will do for you. They had plenty of religion, the law, but they were minus Christ, the Savior. And there are plenty of people in churches today all over the world who have religion, but they don't have Christ. They're spiritually blinded. Just because people go to church on a regular basis, just because people have a religious attitude, just because people read the Bible, doesn't mean they're saved. They can still be spiritually blind. It's possible. We're surrounded by millions of people who are spiritually blind, and they don't know it. until it's pointed out to them. So let's look at verse 35 and verse 36 now. Verse 35 and verse 36. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. Now this is one of probably the greatest passages of John's Gospel. The Lord obviously referred to his earlier announcement when he declared himself to be the light of the world. But now he outlines five very vital steps, and I like to call them the five G's. We'll go through them quickly, the five G's. A great announcement, one. Two, a growing awareness. Three, a grim assertion. Four, a glorious alternative. And five, a grievous absence. Let's look at the first one here, a great announcement. The light is with you. There's no need to stumble in the darkness because truth now stands in your midst. He who knows the mind of the Father is here to instruct you, to guide you, and to help you. Why is the question? Why would God go to all this trouble? Well, we have the answer in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Here's the point I want to bring out. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The whole object of the exercise, as far as God is concerned, is to bring people to a saving knowledge of himself. And I should speak a little later in the morning on the grace of God in connection with this. But this is the intention of God. Why go to this trouble? But it's a great announcement. God's here now to be called upon. Number two, a growing awareness. The light is with you for a little while. Take advantage of it and walk while you have it. He was urging his listeners to seek the Lord while he could be found. This is what he was doing. If you turn with me to Isaiah 55, please. Brings this out, Isaiah 55. And we'll read from verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to God, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What an invitation, eh? What an invitation. But I want you to notice, now is the accepted time. Not to put it off into the future, not to go away and think it over. Now, the Bible calls people to repentance and to trust Christ as their Savior. D.L. Moody said that he made the greatest mistake of his life on the night of October the 8th, 1871. What was the mistake he made? Well, Moody gave the people a week to decide for Christ. That night, the great Chicago fire broke out. Many of the people who were there were killed. In all, some 300 souls perished. Moody's house was destroyed, his mission was destroyed, and his home was completely destroyed. And he learned a valuable lesson out of that. He never ever made that mistake again. You don't tell people to go away and think about it. Wrong. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Thirdly, a grim assertion. Here in John chapter 12, that ye may, verse 36, let's have a look at it, verse 36. Why do you have light? Believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus. Now, this was tantamount to an insult, because the people to whom he spoke were proud that they were the children of Abraham. To them had been given the responsibility and privilege of preserving and proclaiming the Mosaic law. The Lord here was repeating in a new way what he'd already said to Nicodemus. What did he say to Nicodemus? Let's go to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Very religious. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, so you can't get any higher than that. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That little statement he makes there, is it possible to enter the second time into my mother's womb? At this particular point of time, Nicodemus is completely blind. Why? Because he's a natural man. He can't understand spiritual things. Why? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14 with me, please. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Here it is. Paul says to the saints at Corinth, and I can't expand too for the sake of time. I'll just pick this one verse out in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Natural people can't understand spiritual things. The people we meet in the street, or friends, or neighbors, they're not Christians. If you start to talk to them about spiritual things, you're wasting your time. What they need is the gospel. They're unspiritual. They're natural. They're born that way. We're all born natural. And here, Nicodemus is a natural man. He's completely blinded. He hasn't got a clue what Jesus is on about. What? Be born again? I'm already born. I'm here. No, 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 no. Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth. He's driving the point home here. And he's driving the point home here to the Jews in John chapter 12 in a different way. You must be born again. Number four, a glorious alternative. A glorious alternative. Even though they were not the children of light, the opportunity was there to walk while you have the light. Leave so all men could become the children of light. John chapter 3, 14 to 18. Please. 3, 14 to 18. And and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that phrase we all know. We know it off by heart, don't we? No need to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The word believe there in the Greek is pistis, and it's just not a mental assent type of believing, because the Bible tells us that the devils believe and tremble. This word believe in the Greek means to trust in, to rely on, to cling to put your trust in. That's what it means in the Greek. In other words, to make a personal decision